Hey, and welcome back to our Pro Athlete Interview Series. And this is brought to you by the Family Office Club. And in case you're new to this, this is our investor club. We have over 7,500 registered investors. We've hosted over 275 events over the past 17 years, and we have over 12 million social media followers. Now, after having pro athletes, doctors, private investors, and billionaires on stage at our events, we decided to go deep and sort of see what it takes to be the top 1% performer. And we thought, how better to do that than interviewing a series of pro athletes on their mindsets, their investments, visualization practices, affirmations, discipline, et cetera. And so that's why we're here today with Marcus. And Marcus, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well. Charles, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. It's a little bit cloudy here in Portland, Oregon, but hopefully it's a little bit better over where you are.
It's not bad. Well, we're here in Raleigh. Got some good sunshine. Things are coming along pretty well. You know, everything's good in that regard. So lovely weather here in Raleigh.
Love it. Okay. Well, when we get started, why don't we find out a little bit, maybe if you want to take 1 to 2 minutes of sort of talking about where you came from, how you got to where you are today. And that way we get to know you a little bit more before we go into some of the questions we have prepared for you.
Yeah, absolutely, Charles. I'm from Washington, D.C. I live in a little bitty town called Fuquay, Barina, North Carolina. I'm about half hour from Raleigh, North Carolina, our state capital. I am a current national international keynote speaker. I've actually spoken for Family Office Club down in Fort Lauderdale. Met your brother. You know, Richard's an awesome guy, phenomenal guy. You guys' events are 5-star. They're phenomenal. And I do speaking. I do executive coaching, business coaching, consulting. I'm a podcaster myself. I'm a best-selling author, and I'm also a former NFL athlete. So I have a lot when it comes to how to, you know, push to be that top 1% and how you have to keep going and going no matter what life throws your way.
No, I love that. That's sort of why we've had you on stage and also here on the show. So thank you for being there. Thank you for being here. And yeah, I guess we can get started on sort of, I guess on the first question, like what's a visualization technique or an affirmation that you use or goal setting or a ritual or strategies that you've used in the past, whether as an athlete or that you're currently using now in this next phase to be in that top 1%?
So for me, Charles, what I've done is I've learned to visualize what I want and where I want to be. So for example, I'm recently divorced. I was in an apartment for 7.5 months, 2-bedroom. It was dingy, dirty, only had 2 windows. I didn't feel like my energetic, really vibrant, lively self. And so what I did was I visualized what I wanted. I wanted a home for myself. I didn't know what it looked like. Absolutely not. Didn't know where it was going to be. No way. But I knew that I wanted a home for myself with windows and also to give my daughter her own room, her own playroom, her own space, her own stuff. And I visualized starting in January of 2023, right, Charles, what I wanted to do with my life. And I did it. And I bought my dream home 6 months early. I bought it in May of 2023. So what I do is if I'm struggling or my body's where I don't want it to be, I use my mind as the tool to get myself out of a dark situation and see a brighter day ahead.
So is that something that you do, let's say, every morning? Is that something, let's say, you know, before you go to sleep at night, here's what you're doing to line up your next day? Or like, how do you practically do that? Because it's great to have that practice, but how do you put it into practice?
Every single morning, okay. I visualized. And even still today, I visualize every morning when I wake up what I want to get done today and what today is going to take me into the future. So visualization, in my opinion, mm-hmm. has to be done daily. Now, you could do it in the morning. You could do it at night. That's on you. I'm best in the morning. I'm a morning person. So when I get to go to the gym, before I left for the gym, 5 minutes of visualization. Okay, Marcus, you don't like where you are. Where do you want to be? How are you going to get there? What do you need to get done today? Boom, let's go to work. I did that every day. And I still do it now, right, Charles? Mm-hmm. Every single day.
No, I love that. Do you set, I mean, obviously you'll set the daily ones. And I know you set like where you want to end up, whether it's getting the house or setting up that life for your daughter. Is that something, do you have like a sort of a systematized process of here's the things for today, this week, this month, this year, or how do you look at that?
So I go by, exactly, I go daily, weekly, monthly, every 6 months, and then annually. So I say, okay, what am I going to get done today? That's going to be for the rest of this week. What's going to move me this week into next month? What's going to move me for the next 6 months to get me towards my goal? How am I going to move from this year to next year? So I would always do that system, go daily, weekly, monthly, every 6 months, and then annually. And that really pushed me, Charles, out of my comfort zone, because I didn't really do that until my back was against the wall in the apartment. I said, man, if I don't make a change, I'm going to be sitting right here saying, well, I was married, but now I'm not. And I was this, but now I'm not. And I didn't want to keep being that person. So to be the top 1%, you have to learn when life throws you curveballs, how to hit home runs and get yourself out of that situation.
I love it. No, I think that's great. And I think it's something that we can all do, not just to see where we want to go, but also like, how are we going to get there? And that starts with a daily, even if it's a small task, there's those little things you can start taking bites out of, and that way you can get there.
Well, Charles, it's all about taking action, right? Mm-hmm. If you don't take action, nothing gets done. I tell my clients, if you're tactical without being strategic, you probably aren't going to get very far. If you're strategic and you're never tactical, you're never going to move. You got to be strategic and tactical in that order. Know where you want to go and then say, I'm going to do this. This, again, how do you eat an elephant, right, Charles? One bite at a time. You cannot try to do too much, because if you try to overload your mind, you get anxious, you mm-hmm. get stressed, you get nervous. And what happens? You do absolutely nothing.
Yeah, no, agreed. Well, I guess this might be part of your $1 million lesson you might be giving us advice on. And if you have something else, that's great too. But like, what's a $1 million lesson then that you've learned as a pro athlete that you plan to implement that sort of helps you get into that beast mode outside of sports? And so how have you been putting those practices with your visualizations into practice?
That $1 million lesson I've learned, mm-hmm. never let your ego get bigger than the good part of your soul. Mm. Anytime in life, your ego takes over. I have two acronyms for that. One I created, which is exaggerated glorified opinions. That's okay. What I came up with for ego, exaggerated glorified opinions. I constantly lied, Charles, about what I knew about construction. I chased the glory all the time, and I always had to have the last word. Someone else told me another acronym for ego, edging God out. Again, whatever you want to live by, your faith, that's on you. But when your ego gets in the way, when your ego stops you from listening, from being humble, from being appreciative and being grateful, you are destined to go in a direction that you don't want to go. So I hope you hear this. Do not let your ego get bigger than a good part of your soul.
Now, how do you sort of, I guess, how would you check that? So is that something maybe your daughter, your family helps, or maybe you have a business partner or maybe a family friend? Like, what's something that you use perhaps to sort of help you from making that $1 million ego mistake?
My business partner and people that I work with help me keep it in check. And also, right, Charles, because of losing everything in my construction business, going almost homeless, losing all of my money, I've learned how to check my own ego. But again, we still could make mistakes. So having an accountability partner, if you don't have a business partner, get an accountability partner. Find somebody that can mentor you. Get a mentor. Get a business coach. Get somebody that's got your best interest that can do what? Help keep you in line so you don't get into a position that you risk everything because of your ego.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's great. I think it's something that you can use with your visualization. You can use with those you choose to surround yourself with. And if you find yourself coming up against that same problem, there's ways to sort of put in stop gaps or surround yourselves with those people that can help you with it. So.
Correct.
I love. Okay. Well, how about for yourself? What's like, I mean, maybe it was the ego part, maybe it's something else, but what was the costliest financial mistake you've ever made? Or maybe something that you see athletes make consistently that could be avoided?
A big mistake people make, and I've seen a lot of athletes do it, people that do very well do it, and I hope if you are in the position of maybe doing something, this will help you not do it.
Okay.
Do not ever treat a business deal from a past business deal.
Okay.
Every business deal stands alone. That's how I went bankrupt, right, Charles? Mm-hmm. I worked for a big client, big developer in Baltimore. I did a job for them about 6 months earlier around the corner in downtown Baltimore. It was phenomenal. I did well. They paid me early. They took care of this. It was awesome. And then the next job that put me under, I assumed because we did the other job with them, they were going to take care of me. They were going to pay me early. They were going to help me. They weren't going to let me go under. I'm like, oh man, I'm their minority contractor. They're not going to let anything happen to me. I'm their guy. I did that job for them around the corner. They love me.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Ladies and gentlemen, dot your I's, cross your T's. Every business deal stands alone. And always watch out for your bottom line because your client's going to watch out for their bottom line. So when I didn't do that, right, Charles, when I assumed I was going to be taken care of by a client, then I figured out at the end, by the time I've spent all of my money, exhausted all of my resources, spent my entire bank line, I had leveraged my home, took out an equity line from a loan shark, to keep things moving. When it was time to get paid back my money, Charles, they said, thank you very much, Marcus. Great job. Boom, you're done. See ya. Have a nice day. I'm like, what?
Yeah, after all that.
Pay me. And that job sent me into Chapter 7, complete bankruptcy and financial ruin. So if you're listening, understand every job you do for somebody, every deal, it's its own deal. It stands alone. Don't get caught with what you did yesterday with the client today.
I love that. And so obviously putting that in the contract, talking through those details before, are there any practical pieces of advice you do to sort of like make sure that this deal does stand alone and you've had dotted all those I's and crossed the T's? Like what do you do?
Great question, Charles. Make sure it's in the contract and it's done. And don't do what I did. Don't do extra change order work on a handshake deal. That's what put me under. I did a bunch of extra dewatering work, digging, sumping, pumping out of that hole. And I did it on a handshake because they said, well, Marcus, we can't get the paper from the developer or from the owner. Just do it. Just hurry up. Just do it. Don't wait for that. We'll take care of you. And we have a handshake. That's going to be good enough. Like, we did the job with you around the corner. We're going to take care of you, man. Don't worry about it. You're good. And you know what happens, Charles? When you think somebody cares about you, you're under pressure. The job is behind. You're not doing what you need to do. You're not on schedule. You're getting threats of them calling in your bond.
Yeah.
You make bad mistakes. You make bad decisions. And that's what I did. And so if you're listening, if you do extra work for a client, get it signed off on. Because in court, you can use that. I could not use a handshake in a court.
Yeah. And I think the hardest part too, obviously, as you probably still feel, is that your actions came from a good place of trying to make things right and trying to get, and maybe they did too. And maybe just at the end of the day, it did not end up in the place that you both thought it would. But yeah, there's just some easy things you can put in play. And whether it's a, we don't have the time, or perhaps they don't have the money to paper it now, there's ways to structure that of like, okay, well, we'll cover the cost here if then you reimburse, but we'll get that.
That's so get it in writing and get it signed. I didn't get it in writing. I didn't get it signed. Poof. That was it.
Yeah. Well, that's a good mistake that hopefully the listeners won't make, or if they do make it, it's in some other form. So that way they can learn from what you just said. And that way they don't make that same one.
Correct.
Yeah. Well then how about this? So you being in the top 1% as an athlete, you now being the top 1% as the public speaker in that business field, like what are some ways that you can sort of, I guess some ways that you can give as advice to outcompete others, you know, for who's around them. So how can they outcompete? How can they go into beast mode and sort of push out the competitions? That way they rise to be in that top 1%.
Three things you have to do. Be ambitious, which means create a plan and know your purpose. Okay. Mm-hmm. You have to be driven, which means you have to be inspired over motivated, right?
Okay.
You have to be hardworking. Focus on yourself and not the competition. And that's the secret right there, right, Charles? Focus on you. Don't get caught up in social media comparisons. Oh, they're on this private jet. They're going here. They're going there. They have this deal. They got this many investors. You have no idea what somebody really has.
Yeah.
You have no idea somebody's real skeleton in their closet. We get so caught, Charles, what I call like that social pressure. Oh, I see this. I gotta be like that. Oh, I see that. I gotta be like this. No, ladies and gentlemen, don't focus on that. Focus on you. You are the key to success and fulfillment for yourself. If you take the attention off of you, you can't go into beast mode. Focus on your skill sets, your strengths, what you know you're not great at, get help, find partners, collaborate, and then go after it. Beast mode is all about knowing what you do best, be confident, and poof, go after it.
I love that. And I guess that's something too of like you can't be everything to everyone. And if you're trying to sort of outcompete others in the field, you're gonna be so focused on trying to match these metrics that let's say those other people are saying, like if we say we have 12 million social media followers, you're like, yeah, but what does it take to get that? What does that mean? Are they high quality followers? Like all this stuff doesn't matter if it's not important to what you are currently doing or what you're focused on or what will actually make you get to where you want to be based on those visualization practices. So yeah, throw it to the side.
And that's why, right, Charles, know what you're good at, know where you're going, and know who you're trying to help and what is the benefit you provide people. So again, identify people, what you do, who you do it for, and what's the main benefit. If you do those three things, beast mode is only one step away.
I love that. Couldn't have said it better myself. Well, is there anything, any last comments you'd like to leave our audience with? Anything that we haven't covered that maybe you'd like to leave them with today?
I'll tell people, if you want to get that beast mode inspiration, just go to our app. It's the Marcus Ogden app. It's on any Apple and or Android phone.
Okay.
And listen to our podcast, Get Authentic with Marcus Ogden. We're all about being who we are. Be vulnerable. Be real. That's beast mode. Hey, I've done this in life. I've made mistakes. You hurt me. I lost everything because what? I didn't get change order signed. Why? Yeah. I'm like, they're going to take care of me. What happened? I had this huge ego. So again, ladies and gentlemen, learn from me. Don't be like me. And what I hope you is, if you look to our app, you can get exclusive content. Again, it's a free app, right? It's totally free, exclusive content. You can get some inspiration. You can follow our podcast. You can go to our website. All these things. All we care about, right, Charles, is connecting really great people with really great resources. So go to our app. Reach out to us. And again, I'm leaving this great quote by Aristotle.
Okay.
In times of extreme darkness, focus on the light. You are the light that can blaze the trail for other people. But it starts with you believing in you. When that happens and you get into beast mode and you get in the top 1% how you think and how you execute, at that time, everything else will take care of itself.
I love it. Well, Marcus, thank you so much for being a part of our Pro Athlete interview series. It's been a pleasure. I know we love having you on stage. Love hearing your voice now, and hopefully get to meet again soon.
Look forward to it. Have a great day, Charles. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thanks again.